The NPL show is brought to you in association with EvoStick. Get stuck in.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to January's edition of the
Isn't it Ross, isn't it? Good God, we've only just turned up. We're all sweating. It's incredible.
Welcome, everyone, to January's edition of the EvoStick NPL show. Recorded here at the Heating Hops. No, not the Heating Hops. We're at the Magnet.
It's Poker Night.
That is what happens, Damien, when you mess our secretary around and start making jokes that secretary doesn't understand. Isn't that right, Swamper?
Jokes that actually only became reality when I was in there early on this afternoon and he went, "Oh no, I was only kidding."
Also an award winning pub, of course.
Two award, we only drink in establishments. The great thing was, the actual landlord of this pub, the Magnet, the award winning Magnet, was actually in the award winning Heat and Hop having a beer. So, you know, it's not too bad, I suppose.
So, we're recording this at the Magnet. It's good to be back at the spiritual home of the EvoStick NPL show. It's been a long time, but we're back. And luckily, the staff are young enough not to remember the power cut we created the last time we were in. Anyway, welcome everyone. Round the table, we've got the great and good. We've got Mr. Ian Burke from Radio Manchester.
Hiya, Ben.
We've got non-league legend Mr. Roy Sewell.
Good evening.
We've got James Hayes from Radcliffe Borough.
Evening.
We've got Aaron Flanagan from The Mirror.
Hello.
And we've got Swamper. Welcome everyone.
Well, then nice, is it, Ben? Well, believe you me, there's going to be a lot of editing to do if you're going to start like that. That's all I can say.
Before first division show tonight, then.
Yeah. Down to you, Ben.
We did it last week.
Yeah, but that was last week.
I covered it.
Oh,
that was last week.
Oh, really?
Yes.
What we all should do before it, we should thank the owner of Ramsbottom to allow us to do such a show based upon the fact that the floodlights never turned on. And the greatest quote I've ever heard, I've never heard on a Tannoy announcement ever in the history of football going, "Do we have a diesel mechanic? Do we have a diesel mechanic in the ground, please? A diesel mechanic." And surprisingly enough, there wasn't a diesel mechanic in the ground. And at 8:15, we left the ground and everyone got their money back.
Now, back to football. We've got a great title race, a great playoff race, a great relegation battle taking place in the EvoStick NPL. But before we get to that, we should hear what happened on Saturday. So I'm going to hand over to Cockers now. He's just sitting over there for all the results from Saturday.
Thanks, Ben. And Blyth Spartans extended their lead at the top of the table to 8 points on Saturday after they won 4-1 at Croft Park against Matlock Town in front of a crowd of 682. Buxton dropped 2 home points and also lost second place to Workington, who beat fellow top five side Whitby Town. The Bucks were held to a 3-3 draw at Silverlands by Warrington Town, while a crowd of 463 at Borough Park saw Workington beat Whitby 4-0. Stourbridge had a great chance to return to the top five when they travelled to Coles Lane to play bottom four side Sutton Coldfield Town. However, it turned out to be an afternoon to forget for the Glass Boys as Sutton deservedly ran out emphatic 4-1 winners. Rushall Olympic also blew an opportunity to return to the playoff places as they went down to a 3-1 Dales Lane defeat to a Nantwich Town side, who are now ninth and just a couple of points off the playoffs. Second bottom, Ilkeston FC are now 11 points adrift at the safety mark after going down to a 2-1 defeat at Kirkby Road to Barwell. While Corby Town's revival continued as they are now 4 points from fifth bottom Frickley Athletic after beating Hensford Town 3-2 at Steel Park in front of a crowd of 431. Frickley were pulled back towards trouble after losing 3-1 at Owen Street to Colville Town. Hales Owen Town pulled 8 points clear of the drop zone after a 4-2 win at the Grove against out-of-form Micklover Sports. And finally, Marine AFC's Matt Hamilton scored the only goal of the game at home against Stafford Rangers to take all 3 points. And that concludes all the scores from last Saturday. Back over to you, Ben.
So thank you to Cockers, that's what happened on Saturday.
Yeah, she rushed you that quickly, didn't she?
I know,
that's literally a second before you come back to us. It's like she wasn't even in the room, Ben.
So, up at the top of the league at the moment and looking very, very dominant by 8 points, not quite 10, but with 2 games in hand so they could make it. Double figures, Burke.
Yeah.
Blyth Spartans.
Now, Ben, you said there's a title race. There's not a title race. The title race stops at the start of January. Blyth have won it. They've got it sewn up. It's completely and utterly in their own hands. If they mess this up, they'll never get promoted in a million years. This is their chance. They're going to take, as you say, two games in hand, 8 points clear. They've got six wins on the spin throughout January. They've been scoring goals left, right and centre. They've been keeping clean.
15-3.
There you are, exactly. Keeping clean sheets. Now, one of you said to me last month, oh, yeah, they only beat Bedlington Terriers, even though it was 11-1. I don't care who they beat. They beat them 11-1. When they're on fire at the minute. They've got the best home record in the division. And they're not going to be stopped. What do you think about that, then?
I can't believe you're going to be right about the 10 points.
Thank you. I might not be right, though. It might be 20 at this
Aaron,
rate.
Aaron, go.
Can I just issue an apology to Blythe Spartans? Because in the last month, or the last month that I was on... Was I here last month?
Yeah, it was last month.
Yeah, it was last month. I actually said... Then the one thing I'm not sure about with them is that they're not battering teams. And yet, since then, they've won 4-1, 7-1, 4-1. You know, fair play to them. They've proved me wrong. So, you know,
and an 11-1 in between it as well.
Pardon?
And an 11-1 between it as well.
Well, that was...
But no, they seem to have found that kind of cutting edge, which makes them... The fear factor that Blythe had about them for a while.
I've got a point to make. Okay, I was on Black Country Sport on Friday night. And at that point, I know. Check me out, everyone.
Go on, Ben.
Right? On that show, there was a pundit there who said, I think it's going to be Stourbridge's year. And there was an argument at that time, they're only about 5 points off it, that could be the case. You could justify that. One result later, it's suddenly 8 points. Only a couple of results the other way around, and it's back on again, isn't it?
Yeah, I know, but when you're flying away with it at the top, you don't start dropping points left, right and centre. They did that at the start of the season. They didn't have the greatest starts. This is the thing, we were expecting Blythe to go away with it at the start of the season. They didn't do it, but they were always up in the top five, even though they weren't playing to the full potential. They're finally at the straps, they're going for it now, and they're just going to go away and go away and go away somewhere.
Robbie Dale's been scoring goals again, back to his best. They're a team that we've spoken about for since the very beginning of this. We started doing this show a number of years ago now. And, you know, I mean, I know I probably said in jest, Hensford, we're going to the team that's going to win the division this season. Primarily because I've said and believe that Blythe have the capabilities of doing it the last two or three seasons. They're now in the best position they're ever going to be in. Two games in hand, as you say. They've scored 62 goals, only 26 again. So they've got the best scoring record and the best defensive record in the division. It's a long journey for a lot of teams to go to. They're playing some excellent football. All they've got to do is now concentrate is on the football division this season. And no other cup competitions for them, I don't think, really. With the exception of maybe a local cup competition. But there's no other real sidetracks for them. I honestly believe what you say there, Berkey, that they are the team. And I don't think they win it by 10 points. You've said that for the last 4 years, a team will win it by 10 points.
Talk sport tactics, that.
If it's proved right, then basically, then, you know, it's been a long time coming. But I do believe they will win the division. It's what's behind them is so intriguing and so exciting. You said, Ben, didn't you, that, you know, that on Black Country Radio, the pundit was talking about Stourbridge, you know, winning the division. I don't think they will win the division, but I tell you what, I mean, I've said it the last month or the month before, they're the team of the season because of what they've done in the FA Cup or in the league. Absolutely tremendous. They've lost quality players as well.
Just go a bit further ahead in the month. On the 18th, Stourbridge will be hosting Blythe Spartans.
They will.
And they are 10 points behind, but Stourbridge do have a game in hand. So...
Yeah,
it could be 4 points the gap by the end of the month.
Listen, the thing, Blythe have got a tough fixture list this month. They've also got on the last game of the month, Spennymoor. They've got Spennymoor in the last game of the month as well. They're another one of the teams who I think are going to be in the top four.
They too are 10 points behind with a game in hand.
Exactly, yeah. And I don't see either of those two winning the league, though. I really don't. I don't even think they'll push Blythe all the way.
The thing I'd say about Blythe run away with is that the other teams who you'd consider as their title rivals are not consistent enough. They're all dropping. Look at Stourbridge losing to Sutton Coldfield
at the
weekend.
That was the first defeat in ages, though, wasn't it?
But it was only in December.
Huge shock.
Yeah, but it was only in December where they actually. I mean, all right, the mind might have been more on the cup, but they weren't beating the teams in around them. You know, they lost to Barwell, they drew with Spennymoor, they drew with Rushall.
We did expect Blythe to start off with all guns firing, but then they had the unsettling factor of losing Tom Wade. It has taken, and we've always said it, a little bit of time for the new guy, Armstrong, to come in and to put his stamp on it, you know, as regards the type of football he wishes to play. He's always had a decent pedigree of player there. Whether they could adapt to it, my feelings have always been that good players can adapt to whatever. And I think what you're seeing now is him putting his influence over the team, them putting their performance in his in it and his influence on the manner that they play into results, and they've just got stronger and stronger. And I cannot, even, you know, with some of the quality of maybe some of the teams down to seventh position, I can't see anybody touching them. And I think there's every chance that if results do go well for them against the likes of Spennymoor, and
this is the month, isn't it? If they beat Stourbridge and Spennymoor, then that's done.
If they do it, then you are talking 10 points.
And if they win the division this season, the new manager will get all the accolades. But we can't forget what Wade has done for a number of seasons at that football club.
I don't think anybody locally up there will forget, you know, what Tom Wade's done as regards you know, his time, his effort, his knowledge. You know, and I'd go along a little bit with the fact that there may be an unsettling period where maybe new manager's professional...
A fear factor, perhaps, because of his pedigree?
No, I wouldn't say so. I'd say that they need to get used to repetition, and working to formulas and working to systems and handling systems of play. And, you know, for all, you know, the previous managers... shall we say, love and enthusiasm for the game, you can't beat tried and tested formulations, because that's why they are, they're tried and tested, you know, and they work. It's a little bit of a combination of two things. There's no way in this world that the whole staff at Blythe Spartans has changed.
Yeah, yeah.
He has to rely on people that have a knowledge of that level of football.
He was described by a local journalist as an evolution rather than a revolution.
Because there's no way in this world, there's no way that he would have sacrificed the experience of the non-league people that were in and around that club at the playing level and staff level. So all he's done is he's just added to it.
Now, if we just go further down, now, obviously, we're going to know a lot more, as we said, on February's show because of the Spennymoor and Stourbridge matches against Blythe. There are some clubs still there. Obviously, Spennymoor and Stourbridge are there, fifth and sixth at the moment. Second place, though.
Wow.
Workington.
Flying.
They've been on the show. Didn't put them off. They won the next game at a canter.
Just let everybody know, by the way.
Yes.
And Ben might keep this at all, but may not keep it in. But every time Ben interviews a manager, the nerves for Ben on the Saturday are like incredible. when we're doing FC Live, he's like, he's always looking for the results because basically he believes he has absolutely crucified a few teams based upon him interviewing. You know, Workington, wow, absolutely.
Yeah, 4-0 against Whitby on Saturday.
Ridiculous.
Yes.
Absolutely ridiculous. 6 wins out of 7 for him as well. Nice fixture list coming up. Probably the toughest game they've got, Stafford. So if anyone's going to push Blythe at the moment,
and the one thing there, though, they've got as well, they've got a massively knowledgeable crowd.
Yeah.
Have been in football for a long, long time. They've got a great radio team there up there that know the game inside out. And I know, Ben, you've spoke to them, I've spoke to them, and we've worked with them over the period of time. And so
the blessed Welshie.
Lovely
outstanding. They've gone about their business in a similar way to Grantham without anyone realising where they've got to. And obviously they're now in second spot. But it's down to hard work, repetition, good graft, and having a formula that is now working and working and working.
It's more than that, because they've had a lot of changes on and off the pitch.
They had a lot of changes last year, didn't they, where they brought a lot of players in, new players in, and to be honest, I keep going on about it, there's a little catchment area there that they are very fortunate to be able to draw on, and it works.
That the Isle of Man or the Irish Sea?
It works for them. And the fact is, like, you know, at the end of the day, my second string, you know, to actually gain promotion.
One thing that cropped up on Friday's Black Country Sport programme that I was on, was the fact that, you know, they were obviously it's a West Midlands radio station. They're big on Stourbridge, and if they reckon, obviously, Stourbridge are going to get in the playoffs, certainly, if they're not going to get automatic promotion. And the point has to be made, if Workington get in the playoffs this season, with the experience they've had in previous years, that no one's going to want to play Workington, are they?
No, of course not. But
especially if they finish second.
Yeah, but just because you've been in the playoffs before, don't mean you're going to win them. As FC United can tell us all about, and Curzon can tell us all about.
Blyth as well.
Perhaps you would want to play them because they've not been successful. Yeah. So you might think, well, they can't get out of this division.
But if they finish, finish second, nobody's going
to. Yeah, you ought to work in, of course, yeah, but people will go, but they haven't got out of it, so therefore maybe it's an opportunity to
learning lessons to win it also. I remember
a couple of years ago when Curzon got promoted, the playoff semi-finals, Workington against Ilkeston. Ilkeston went up there, and I tell you, nobody thought Ilkeston were going to get a result.
No, you're dead right.
Nobody at all. I mean, I think everyone pretty unanimously thought Workington are going to go up there, by far the best team in the playoffs.
Ah, George, and Ilkeston
stunned them. Yeah. They stunned them.
But last year, the performance against Blyth Spartans, you know,
and Salford, to be fair,
they were tremendous. Yeah, and against Salford, I mean, that was like one of the games of the season. Mm. You know, were never ever out of that game, and you know. Well, my feelings are, you know, that they still have.
You would fancy
they still have that pedigree there.
So they seem to have some of this year. If you go back to end of November, start of December, they lost 5-0, 2-0, and 4-0 to Stalbridge, Hensford, and Colville in consecutive games. And to be able to kind of go from them defeats and just switch and go onto a good run, you know, that takes a hell of a lot, you know, of mental strength. The mentality, they seem like they've got something else to be able to go from that. But it's such a good run so quickly.
It's been a constant improvement, though. You know, it's like they've been putting a brick in the wall one at a time rather than ten at a time.
It's more like a brick attached to a yo-yo, though. For most of the season, they've been up and down all the way before Christmas.
Well, yeah, but they've had good spells of, you know, continuity where they have had a really good, solid run, and then something out of the blue sort of hit them. Well, you know what? They've had more good runs than they have poor runs, and that's what's got them into the second position.
Buxton on Saturday have bounced back in a way, a 3-0 draw against Warrington. No, not the best.
No. That weren't a bounce back. That was a capitulation. They were 3-1 up with 2 minutes to go. Open.
Okay.
They threw it away.
Buxton are third, and they are going through a bit of a bad patch, but they're still third.
Yeah, they've got Liam Hardy back as well.
They've got a few, and they've got McGee in as well from Workington.
But
isn't there a thing here where they're just waiting to click with the new signings they've got? Because the signings they've brought in...
We say this every year, though. Come on.
Normally we say they've lost players. This is a case of we spoke to Martin McIntosh last week. The chairman's up the budgets to keep the players
they've got new players
coming in. So
I hope they do it. I've got a lot of time for Buxton. I really have. But they've got a massive problem, and it's the last 10 minutes of games. This month, they've conceded 7 goals in the last 10 minutes of matches. And it's going to cost them, ultimately. It is, if they keep going that way. They'll miss out on the playoffs if they can just sort out.
Yeah, my feelings are, like with Buxton, to be honest, they're playing for 4th or 5th spot. You know, all credit to Martin, you know, as regards that. He has... levelled out on a consistency level with Buxton, that really has been their downfall over the last couple of seasons, like, you know, I'd say 3 seasons, to be honest. And they have got that little bit more, you know, solidity about them. But my feelings are that they're playing for maybe 4th or 5th, and that will depend on their continuity as regards, you know, getting results, basically. 3 points, regardless of whether they play well, bad or indifferent.
Does it also depend on... Obviously it does, but does it also depend on how well the other clubs around them do, who are similar ilk, maybe, like Whitby, for example, who are in a terrible run at the moment?
The chairman there has recognised their problem, and their problem basically is that when they have a couple of suspensions or injuries, their squad isn't big enough to handle the quality that's required to stay in that top, you know, in them top positions. And all credit to the chairman offering, basically, Martin, that sort of crutch to lean on, like, you know, and maybe be able to bring, you know, quality players in that can sustain themselves and be part of a squad and build the squad up.
Because
it's about a squad game, and not about a team game.
The thing is, as Curzon approved, if you get in those playoff positions, it doesn't matter who also's in there. You've got a chance, haven't you?
Of course you have, yeah.
No disrespect to Curzon at the time. But
we didn't expect to go up, so...
No, of course you have, and, you know, and then what you do is you hopefully rely on players that have been, conditioned, you know, throughout the season to know what their jobs are and their responsibilities are.
Can we go to Whitby? Can you go to Whitby whilst finishing Buxton?
I sort of, because I mentioned earlier that Liam Hardy's come back and he scored 3 goals in, I think, as many games, which is fantastic, but they've not been picking up the results. And I'm just wondering if it's another kind of Gavin Allert situation where the big man comes in and he's getting all the goals, but everyone else is sort of falling back into the shadows a little bit. What a great signing to get back, though. Absolutely brilliant, a masterstroke, and I really hope it comes off for them.
Now, Whitby have been one of the big stories this season, and they are going through a bit of a dodgy patch. There are a couple of green W's in the last 10 matches, but there is a lot of red there as well for losses.
Hang on, Ben.
Well, if you look at the last 6, it's 3 wins, 3 defeats, realistically.
Let's
so it's
look
not
at
like...
the last 5, though. It's 3 wins, 2 defeats. It gets better the shorter you look at it. They're in half-season form. No, the thing is, if you win 3, lose 2...
What are you looking at? They've got beat. They've got beat by Workington.
Oh, yeah, I'm including the Dootson.
Who includes the Dootson?
Well, you sold the Dootson. I'm just getting in on
the fire. You don't like
me. I know it's stupid.
Did you just include a competition that you actually don't actually recognise?
Yeah, essentially.
Wow.
The thing is, if you get 9 points... Hang on, I'm sure they've got 9 points from...
Out of the last ten matches, they've got the 20th best form. That's almost relegation form.
You know, it's like Ben's become the Jeff Stelling of this show, hasn't he? He's got all these facts in front of him. If he knows the ball, he just happens to have a load of things in front of him. But I'm
dealing with a table of alternative facts, aren't I? Go on.
Yeah, this is an alternative fact.
He's only come up with one. Whitby's form, if you include Dudeson and North Riding Cup competitions.
They got
superb.
They got tater the other day.
Not lying.
Whitby's position at the end of the day is absolutely superb. From
correct.
What anybody around this table or these tables expected them to go with this season. End of story. Anything in the top 10 would have been an absolute success for them.
Can they stay in the top 5, though?
No, because of the quality of the teams that are around them.
In fairness, though, the next couple of weeks are going to be crucial, because I think Whitby have got a bit of breathing space looking at the next couple of fixtures, especially with 3 of the next 4 teams we'll speak about in a second.
Go on, then. Speak about them now. Who are
they
playing?
Because Spennymoor, Stourbridge and Grantham have got to play each other in the next 3 games.
And who would you go for there? Coming out with top points.
Well, at the moment, you got to look at the form, haven't you, and say, you know what, you can't really not grab from it at this moment in time, can you?
Well, that's good. Let's go to the chasing pack now.
But I've just got to say about Whitby.
Whitby.
They've only got 4 games this month. They're going to have a nice little rest. They haven't got these daft competitions going
Forget
on.
Forget that. That's
3 of the games.
It's a misnomer. They need to be playing games.
3
Forget
of the
that.
Games.
They need to be playing games.
Swampy.
4 games will kill them.
3 of the games are against teams in the bottom half.
But the point of
this is their chance.
You forget teams at this stage of the season need to be playing game. Having Whitby have been absolutely tremendous all season. I mean, obviously, I wasn't here to give you my eye who was going to be A, B, and C in the divisions, but I am so pleased for them. I agree with Roy. They're going to be the team that will drop out, unfortunately, because there are so many strong teams around them. We've got a couple of games that are on top of them, and it's a shame. But Whitby can be very proud of themselves if they finish 6th. If they get to the playoffs, absolutely amazing. I'll buy you all a fish and chip supper.
Not in Whitby. Right.
It'd be cheaper for a pint, to be honest.
Yeah. No. If they finish the top 5, I will go to the best restaurant in Whitby and buy everyone around this
table. Go to one in Longsight?
No.
We'll go Cool Runnings. That'll be nice.
No, Ben. No, you can't. The point I'm making is that
I'll have that.
Whitby. Yeah. Well, you can buy that then. I'm saying I'd love them. I'd love them to be in the top 5, and I'm prepared to take you all to Whitby and pay for a chippy supper.
If some of the people around this table are correct and Whitby Town don't quite make it, is there a chance a bit further down for another team to get in there? Or maybe a couple of more teams to get in there? Well, Rushall?
No.
Let's start with them. Rushall?
Well, silly, missed it last month when they were top of the table.
they were title contenders last month, weren't they?
Yeah, but not now.
I'd never said they were.
They've got 1 point out of the last 5.
They have, and they've lost 6 in all competitions, on the spin as well. Alex Reid's gone to Fleetwood. Best luck to him, of course. And I just think it's over for them. I really do.
Will they sack the manager?
Thing is, I think the last time I stayed on here, I said it, you know, that he needs to look after his star performer, which was Alex Reid. The lad's gone. All credit to him. It's not necessarily the lad's scoring ability of, you know, actually putting the ball in the net, as the qualities that he adds to knitting within the team and blending in the team. Balance is superb. You know, you get balance in a team, and I'll tell you what, it'll go a long, long way. And it doesn't matter what sort of qualities individually you've got. If it doesn't add to the balance, then you'll have problems. And he added to the balance. He finished it off.
I said that about Brian McClair in the mid-90s.
Yeah.
For that exact reason.
bang on there.
Ben, you were seven.
I was Ben. 10. Right, so.
I remember him writing that little letter to me. Leave him alone.
Now, in eighth position, though, this is the team I'd like to talk about at the minute. Grantham Town.
Yes.
Little old Grantham Town.
Should we throw Swampy on this?
Let's throw this to Swampy without mentioning Parsons. Nicholas Parsons, Sleaford Mods, Athletics Tracks, Margaret Thatcher. And anything to do with Brexit.
They've done absolutely superbly well, and I actually also realise that the vast majority of people in that area despise 4 out of 5 of those things you've just said, which is a good thing.
And one of them
is Sleaford Mods. No, it's not. It's they've done tremendously well, but they're not going to get a top five.
No, they won't.
Are we sure? I'll tell you now, top five for me is very, very simple. It's Blyth, Barton, Workington, Spennymoor, Stourbridge. They're the teams. They're the team. One, two. What did I say?
Can anyone. Does anyone
come back to me in a minute, Ben. I feel like the last leg here.
Does anyone from this end of the table like to discuss Grantham Town being a young, energetic side with management who know what they're doing, who could surprise a lot of people in the coming months
and never
of the
mind
season?
That, Ben. The
says
surprise.
Ben, who's interviewed their manager this week.
Ben,
we've got a young, energetic side.
They're surprising a lot of people as the season's going on. They had a slow start, which we were expecting. But I've got a horrible feeling it's going to cost them at the end, and it might be next season that we see Grantham really, really go for it. They're unbeaten in the league for, blimey, over 2.5 months now, since November the 8th, Matlock did them, then did them in the FA Trophy the week after. 14 games in all competitions are unbeaten. They're absolutely flying at the minute. Felipe Barcelos, he's one of the form players in the division as well, and
their one win,
you never know.
Their one win from second.
No, the only problem is,
look at the
they've
team
played three or four games. Well, they've played three or four games more than everyone else, haven't they? And they had that bad start.
One game. More than some.
Yeah, but you've got Spennymoor who've played 26
Sure, we've already said they'll make the playoffs, but
that's it.
They've not played too many games more than anyone else now.
Yeah, I mean, again, if you snookers.
Swampy's got this look on his face where he's going, slightly convinced by your argument there, Ben. It's beautiful to say. Yeah. I've never seen that face before.
That wasn't that kind of face.
Just to throw in a couple more names, Nantwich Town, 2 points from the player positions at the moment.
Doing well.
Yeah, they've only played 27 games.
I think, but if you know.
Oh, yes, what I've found with Nantwich last month or so is they've lost games I wouldn't have expected them to lose.
Yeah.
Consistency might be a problem there.
Well, maybe they're having their wobble. They had it this time last year.
I'm not sure they're scoring enough goals. Like, when I look at their team, and this is. I don't know whether they've scored 50 goals.
In 27 matches.
I don't know whether it's statistically proven, but when I've seen a few of their results, the strikers haven't been scoring. The goals have been coming kind of from midfield as well.
But he encourages that.
But if you're going to go on a run, and you need a central man scoring a load of goals, in my opinion.
But, you know, all credit to them. They sat there, and if they sling a little run in, you know, they could upset
They could be the team that actually is on the periphery in the fifth spot.
They're the sort of team who normally seem to have that little bit of finance to strengthen their team when they need to as well. So there's every chance that they could get stronger, and you know they could have a bit of a run.
If I'm going to look at them, I'm looking at Blyth, I'm looking at Workington, I'm looking at Spennymoor, Stourbridge, and then, like I say, fourth or fifth, Buxton of being there with maybe three others.
And you know what you say?
For the last spot. For the last spot.
If you take things from a wider view, it's not all that long ago they were in the North West Counties League, and they've come a long way in a relatively short period of time.
Just before we move on to part two, where we're discussing, unfortunately, relegation, just a quick mention for some of the outside bets. The really long odds now.
There
I think.
Aren't any better.
No, there isn't.
Well, no.
There aren't any fairness.
But nobody's mentioned Matlock. Matlock are right in
Aaron,
the mix.
They are in
quality as regards to, like, you know, getting results. They are in there because they can pull out them results.
And they've
Matlock.
Got games in hand.
But, you know, I've got to say, you know, about my buddy down in Rushall, you know, all best to him.
John Allen?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, quality. He's kept them up there. He's kept them battling away. They're on the edge. They know what it's about to be up there. Hopefully, they know what it's about to stay up there as well. Quality.
Aaron?
Hello,
just a quick mention for Matlock. Great FA Trophy run.
Yeah.
Very unlucky against Barrow.
Yeah.
Now they've got to focus on the bread and butter, as they put it. They've got games in hand. Can they do it? It's a long shot, isn't it?
Listen, they've proven already, simply for the result of the likes of going to Halifax, beating them over two games. Well, obviously, I know they drew the first and beat them in the second. You know, that shows that they've got something about them. A few of the league results that they've had, they're competing against the teams up there.
Does that Blythe Spartans defeat them on Saturday kind of knock the wind out the sails a bit?
I think sometimes you do have to look at results in isolation and actually go, maybe we were just beaten by a very good team. Because at the moment, Blythe are a very good team. And sometimes you've just got to forget about them. And they seem to have a strong enough mentality about them to be able to get over it. And they're definitely an outside bet.
But they did lose to Corby as well.
Yeah.
They struggled over
everyone,
the line against
them.
Corby are doing well at the moment.
True.
It's again one of them. The teams are losing to it, in-form teams.
Don't talk about Corby. We'll get to Corby.
The teams that Matlock are beating are the teams they should be beating. So actually, they are winning games.
They're winning the right games. Yeah, that's cool.
To go up there.
And hopefully they'll win, you know, a few of the games that maybe are a little bit daunting for them.
Yeah. And do we then think that's it? There's no chance for Hensford. Maybe Plucky Barwell.
The last couple of weeks, they've dropped silly points to really consider him at this moment.
I'm gone. Oh, Swampy's gone. Oh, I thought Hensford were going to win the league. Oh.
Anyway, it's the end of part one of the Evo Stick MPL show. Coming up is an advert, and then when we get back, we're going to be discussing relegation.
Fantastic adhesive this sticks like from Evo Stick.
Yeah, it's incredibly strong.
And it even works on wet surfaces. Pretty impressive.
Did I tell you my lad's playing in the Evo Stick League this year?
The Evo Stick League?
Yeah, Evo Stick are the new sponsors of the Northern Premier League.
What position does your lad play?
Goalie.
You better put some sticks like on his gloves then.
Especially when it's wet.
Sticks like adhesive from Evo Stick. Proud sponsors of the Evo Stick League. For details of your nearest stockist, search the App Store on your iPhone for the new Evo Stick app.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Evo Stick NPL show for the month of January. Round the table, we've got the great and good of the non-league world. We've got Mr. Berkey here from Radio Manchester.
Hello, Ben.
We've got Roy Sewell here, Mr. Non-League himself.
Yeah, good evening.
We've got Swampy here from SC Radio. And
good evening, Ben. I'm back on...
Are you back on the non-league show on Audio Boom?
Radio 5 non-league show, but not quite 5 leave anymore, but somewhere else. But yeah,
Audio Boom.
Audio Boom. Yeah, boom! Back on there now.
Home of this show. It's like, they're technically our sister show then.
Sister. I'm sure Caroline would be happy with that, and Dave Anderson would be.
Found it out on Whitby Towers and all right now, wouldn't it?
Yeah, but we were here first, so technically it's our daughter/son show, isn't it?
Yeah.
We kind of, yeah.
Sons James and daughters,
laughter, tears of sadness and happiness.
I don't know the rest.
James Hayes is here too. Aaron Flanagan, who's very, very tired because it's transfer deadline day. Yay! Yes. Just me. Yeah.
Okay. He's wearing yellow.
No excitement there for me.
So, we're going to be discussing
Great news! The transfer fees are broke on £1 billion for a year!
Hey, one of us has got involved today, thank you very much.
Oh, who was that tea got?
Jim White is fine as long as the transfers weren't to and from either Curzon Ashton or Whitehawk.
Yeah. Where's Cousin? I've never heard of the wee place. No. Where is it?
Now,
it's near Ashton, I believe. Near an IKEA. Not too far from a big hill.
We're going to be discussing the fixtures for this weekend in the third part of the show. But before then, it's now time, though, to look at, unfortunately, relegation and Skelmersdale United. Coming into this mum's set of fixtures, Skelmersdale have obviously had a change of management. A change of assistant manager and a bit of a change of backroom staff. It has been a very difficult season for Skem. Wish Tommy Lawson all the best, obviously, a proper stalwart of non-league football and at this level. They have got a challenge on, haven't they?
We all know that the budget was cut. It was announced on the league website around about a month ago. And, all right, results haven't picked up since. But you wouldn't expect them to. A load of players have gone there and his backroom staff stuck by him and they were trying their best.
I think the team and the management probably recognise that they're going to be already relegated. I think that there must be a belief that they're not going to stay up this season. With his experience that he has, you would expect them to keep him on for next season to get them back up where they are. We don't know the ins and outs of it. He's been a loyal servant for that football club and a very well respected member of the non-league fraternity for many, many years. It is interesting, but we never know the ins and outs of it. No. So all we can really talk about, I suppose, is the position opposed to the management takeover.
Is there a wider malaise, though? Because they did struggle last season as well, and we could kind of see this coming at the start of the season. When we were doing a round-up in August, went round the table, who's getting relegated? Most would have said Skem.
How would you go, though, from 2.5 seasons ago to being top for the vast majority of the season?
Is it nothing
to then to be where they are?
It could be
now?
Nothing at all that Skem's done. They might be just treading water, but everyone around them, and literally I'm talking like the top 20, maybe 21, have all just invested big time in their squads.
Maybe my feelings are, you know, they're at the bottom of the division, but if they go down, you wouldn't have had a better person than Tommy Lawson and get them back up again.
Yeah.
You know, end of story, and you know, you can have the changes, whatever you wish. You know, at the end of the day, like, you know, it's tailor made, you know, for this this level and you know, this type of football.
Well, we wish Alan Rogers well and everyone at the club well in the remainder of the season.
And they've got a hard.
It's
hard
a very hard.
I do believe, unfortunately, that they're preparing for next season now already. And good luck to the next season because it's a hard division to be in. But the same token, it's a new manager with new blood, new ideas, new thoughts. Obviously, the board have got...
Wasn't there a team that did it last year? Wasn't it Marine? Or someone did it, where they changed the manager and it worked for them?
Marine.
It was Marine, wasn't it? A couple of seasons ago. It was Whipper. It was Chris Harder.
Of course.
Anyway.
Well, last season, yeah.
Yeah, and it worked out quite well in the end. That's Skem. Ilkeston. Where do we start with Ilkeston?
Ben,
listen, where do we finish?
They've still got games in hand.
I'm still waiting for the season. I still feel like they're so far behind. They're like, oh, they'll get there.
Young lads playing their hearts out.
Yeah.
Not quite good enough. Don't have the experience to handle the situation they find themselves in. But they'll still carry on playing lovely football.
And there's no shame in that at all.
No,
there's not at all. Shame in not quite being good enough yet.
It's just such a shame that the club have become. They set the stall out a year and a half ago. They knew they were happy with a certain position.
Is there anything wrong with that ideal that chairman's gone with? Because it is a very admirable ideal that we're going to go with youth.
Depends how you but work it at the same time.
Depends on why you're doing it.
They were with
go on,
youth.
James, sorry. James,
they had youth there when Kevin Wilson was manager.
Yeah.
Kevin was successful with it.
Yeah. Very successful, yes.
And it just... I don't get how Kevin did have a youth ethos,
you know, to the team, but he also had a couple of experienced heads there as well, which
Steve Tuttle was there with him, wasn't he, as well, working with him, and you know, they had that real thing about them
and utilised. And the fact is, like, you know, I tell you what, you know, they always come back with this this saying, you won't win anything with young players. Maybe you won't do if you don't have a spine in there with the likes of Robson, Keane, Ince, because it's those players that allow the young players to progress, and that's what they've not got. They've got a team of young lads that are working the socks off, And really, they're trying to find leaders within their own sort of little peer, and they haven't got one.
It's dead simple for me. They're a team that should be actually fighting for the playoffs, as they were against Curzon, but also in that season with the best footballing team bar none in that division.
So I'm just going to come back to what you said a second about having a spine in a team there. It's not wrong to have a complete set of youngsters in a team, no, as long as the youngsters have
so
had...
Long as the exactly. So long as the expectation isn't above what they're capable of delivering.
But again, there's a lot of youngsters at this level now who've already been playing.
That's Ilkeston.
So they match survivors, what we're saying?
No.
The interesting thing, though, with relegation is, and this is the most intriguing thing for me. Last week, when I was on Black Country Sport, did I mention that earlier?
Oh, what's that?
It's the premier sports show for the Black Country.
I'm surprised you haven't said you've been in Manchester yet.
Now, on that show on Friday, Frickley Athletic were home and dry. It looked pretty nailed on, to be honest. There was a guy there talking about Sutton Coldfield from Switch Radio, and he was confident Sutton Coldfield going to be fine, talking about the 3G pitch.
Was
and
he
all
manager?
That. No, he was like their sports journalist at Switch Radio. And the space of a weekend...
How does Ben get these gigs?
The space of a weekend...
He knows nothing about football, he's host programmes.
In the space...
Everything's asking you some questions. He's got it all...
Yeah, you know what I did? You know what I did on Friday?
Edited it well.
No. You, Simo, bit of you. I even said the bit of your isms, right?
Yeah.
Used them all. I actually said, it's just a case of... I actually said those words. It's just a case of... And that's what he always says.
And at one point he went, hello!
Right. I've done twice at work today.
And he turned around and said to me, the only bit of wisdom that come out of that was that bit of Sulis.
But in fairness, you didn't.
Frickley Athletic, are we entering a stage here where Frickley Athletic, Corby and Sutton Coldfield are going to drive each other on to catch up Marine and Hales Owen?
It's a good question, Ben.
Thank you. Got there in the end.
But no.
I'm going to go with what I said last week. I think the bottom four is going to say as the bottom four. Sutton Coldfield will have a bit more of a fight in them now after last week's results. But I think Corby have left it a bit too late to get something out of it, and they need a drastic miracle to get out of the bottom four.
They've had that drastic miracle. Like, they are well within a shot.
Drastic miracle.
Let's just talk about Corby for a second. Corby, in their last 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7... they've only been beaten once in the last 7 games.
Exactly, yeah. They've found a bit of form at exactly the right time, haven't they?
They've won 4 of them, yeah.
Yeah, I thought so. It doesn't matter who against.
It does,
because... they beat good teams.
Hensford, Ilkeston, Matlock, Spennymoor.
Quality.
Spennymoor.
Right. Barring one.
Well,
here's
the thing, Swampy. You look at the bottom 5, Frickley downwards, the goal difference... is pretty dreadful. Out of all of them, though, Corby's is the best, and they're just trying to pull the way out of it, aren't they? Hales Owen, for me, they're going to be safe unless they do a total capitulation like Hyde did last year. I think they'll be absolutely fine.
So they're down.
It's the bottom 5. It is between them, and then there's going to be the AGM Cup anyway at the end of the season.
I think the problem with the teams trying to get out of relegation is, I mean, I'll be honest, I've not actually seen Mickleover, Marine, Hales Owen, Frickley play this year. Those teams seem like they're just a bit too good to go down, and I don't know whether that's just an inkling I get from them. I think the problem with the teams that are still fighting is that it's more that the teams above them, I'm not so sure actually going to get sucked into it. I think the teams above them are capable enough of picking up the points they need.
It feels like Frickley and Corby are more than capable of beating anyone in this league.
Mm.
Right, more than capable. Sutton Coldfield to get that result against Stourbridge on Saturday, I think shows that Sutton Coldfield's got a bit more to him than that as well. It is going to be very, very interesting over the next couple of months about the likes of Hales Owen, of Marine, of Mickleover, which is bizarre Mickleover, to say, the season they've had. But there is always a team, and I hate to be talk sport, but Swampy, there is always a team who drops like a stone and comes out of nowhere. Hyde, for example.
What are you trying to say?
I think I've just said what I needed to say.
You are right. I mean, the one thing about Corby at this point in time, going back to Corby, they're having a renaissance. It's how long they can actually sustain that renaissance for. They're a football club that really... as Hyde, or I mean, no one has a right to be where they are, but they really shouldn't be where they are. Hyde last season shouldn't be where they were, but they were. And Corby have had a great renaissance. Can they sustain that? We don't know yet, but I think it's going to be hard to sustain. But if they carry on doing what they're doing, the teams around them, as you say, I mean, we're all in agreement that Skem and Nilsson have gone. Suncoast, I mean, the thing that's confused us all this week
is the Suncoast result
against Stourbridge. 4-1. Phenomenal result. I mean, no one would have predicted that.
The Switch radio guy did.
At the very, very bottom, everyone's fighting for their lives. You've got Hales Owen there. Hales Owen have played 27, Frickley played 29. The downside for Sutton and Corby is they played 31 games.
Yeah.
So, they draw one and lose one. All of a sudden, bang, they're back right down there. And I would suggest, and I'd like Corby to get out of it if they can, but I don't think they will.
And the fixture preview in a second, and we are going to do a fixture preview, but this weekend Frickley Athletic are playing Corby.
In defence of Frickley, they have got an half-decent home record. They've actually got a better home record than Nantwich, and they're in ninth place.
Yeah.
You know, their away record, all right, it's let them down completely and utterly, but I think, remember where they were in September? They were miles away.
Yeah.
And they've had an half. You know, if the season had started in September, oh sorry, October, they'd have been mid-table, no problem at all. As it happened, they had a really wonky start to the season, and that's let them down. Frickley are going to be all right. I'm pretty sure of it, and I do think it will be the bottom four that go.
I think that's the end of part number two. If anyone else has got anything to add, if anyone wants to say Stafford Rangers at this point.
The mid-table four are still being the mid-table four, except for Mickleover at the moment.
Yeah.
Well, the thing about Stafford Rangers at the moment in time is they are where they are. And
thanks,
they
Swamper.
End up finishing where and they finish,
and they've been there all season.
Yeah,
basically.
And so yet they've got some quality players. They have got great management team.
Get back to the same thing, Swampy. Balance and blend.
And that is the end of part two.
With over 500 high-performance products in the EvoStick range, you may need a bigger van. EvoStick, the strongest adhesives you can buy.
Welcome back to the Magnet here in Stockport, the award-winning Magnet, the spiritual home of the EvoStick NPL show. This is definitely Stockport. Yeah. The trains are going past here. It's very exciting. So, round the table, we've got the great and good of the non-league world about to preview the fixtures for this weekend. We've got Mr. Ian Burke from Radio Manchester. We've got Roy Sewell, non-league legend.
Good evening.
We've got Mr. Swamper.
Good evening, Ben.
We've got James Hayes.
Hello.
And from the Mirror, we've got Mr. Aaron Flanagan.
Hello.
Have you noticed, by the way, when we started this podcast, everyone had grand titles. They had things attached to them. Great, glorious thing. We had a guy from Five Live on a few times, right? It was a glorious thing. Now there's just you two with any form of title. It's a very sad state of affairs. Anyway, probably nothing to do with this show. Just ask any manager who's been on it. Doesn't affect them in any way, shape or form. So, Saturday the 4th of February offers some delightful fixtures in the EvoStick Premier Division. Let's start with the biggie of the day. And I think this is probably the biggie of the day. Spennymoor Town against Grantham Town. It's going to answer a lot of questions.
It's going to. I think Grantham have got a. This is going to test if Grantham have got the capability of challenging for the playoffs. Especially with the games they've got in hand and the next couple of fixtures after that for them as well. Grantham have got to get something out of there to stand any chance of it.
If Grantham win this, is it game on for them?
No, they've got another fixture the week after that's going to prove if it is game on or not. But
they have only got four league fixtures at the month, though.
Yeah.
But this is the thing, it's like stress testing a bridge or something, this, isn't it? If they do come through this, oh, can they do it? The gingerbreads, of course.
If they do come through this, then they deserve it. Yeah. But they're going on a journey to Spennymoor. Spennymoor will be up for it. Grantham won't take them by surprise. Spennymoor will be ready for it. And I think it'll be Grantham that will be tested rather than Spennymoor.
I'll give you a prediction. It'd be 3-1 to Spennymoor.
One thing that I think is very important about this is that Grantham don't go up there with the sole intention of keeping this unbeaten run going.
Yeah.
It has to be they go up there with the intention of winning it. They can't just go, oh well, if we get a draw it's okay. No, it's not okay. You need to go out there and win this game, otherwise you sit on your laurels and, you know, Spennymoor can turn you over. Simple as that. They're a really good team. And, well, I wish both sides best luck.
Well, Spennymoor don't just involve the team on the pitch. I've been up there with the team, and the fans are really passionate. And they're passionate, you know, as regards, you know, not nastily. They're football orientated, and to be honest, you know, when I've took my team last time, I had belting banter with the lads behind the dugouts, like, you know. But I tend to have good banter with away speckies anyway, like, you know, because maybe they see that I appreciate it.
Did he usually start with Fester and go?
Yes,
there?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, but you know, there's a few Festers up there as well.
Call him sir after that.
just back to Graham from that match. James alluded to Stourbridge the next Saturday, so it is quite an interesting set of games for Grantham.
It's huge for Grantham. I mean, Grantham's season is determined the next two games.
Yeah,
I can't see Spennymoor slipping up at home at this moment in time. They've got a good momentum. It's a hard place to go to, and they are a powerhouse. They've got money behind them. They've had for a number of years now, and they are desperate to emulate the Blythes and the Gateshead's of the North East. They want to become a big name player in semi-pro football at the highest level possible, and I can't see Spennymoor, even though it's going to be a tough game. I can only see Spennymoor coming out there. Say, I prediction is going to be at 3-1. They've got a good quality team there. And even though Grantham are doing well this moment in time, it's a long journey. It's a hard place to go to. And for me, can only see one winner.
Yeah. Elsewhere, we'll deal with the matches down the bottom end in a second, because actually game of the day is probably down the bottom end, to be fair. But just a couple of matches up at the top end. We've got Stafford Rangers against Buxton, which is quite intriguing, I think.
Hang on, Stafford out at the top? What are you on about?
No. But no, Buxton are. And we went to the reverse fixture a couple of weeks ago.
Draw written all over it, this.
Buxton have a point to prove there, because at home against them...
That match was bizarre, because the sending off killed it.
Buxton will have a point to prove there against Stafford Rangers. Stafford themselves are a team that are up and down at this moment in time. I think it'd be a score draw.
What did you say then, Roy? 2-2, did you say?
I'd say 2-2, yeah.
Right, let's deal with this big fixture then. We'll mention it now, we might as well. Frickle Athletic are hosting Corby Town. This is a big game, isn't it?
If Frickle win this, it's all over.
No, it's not.
I think it would be.
Look at the teams that Corby beat. Like,
they have, but the same.
It's just one loss to another reasonably informed team.
Let's put it this way: if Frickley win, it's just another step in that prediction earlier, that suggestion that Hales, Owen, and Marine and the like would get dragged in.
But
if Corby win,
very good point, Ben.
Win, game on.
I don't think it's just down to that fixture. I think the one that ties into that fixture is Ashton versus Sutton Coldfield, and I think the two
fixtures
go together as regards that. If Ashton can do Sutton Coldfield,
then they will,
as they should. Well, not say as they will, but as they should. I think Sutton Coldfield are one of the four. I think if Sutton Coldfield turn Ashton United over, as they could again. Because, you know, Ashton haven't been consistent this year.
No, but they're finding the feet, aren't they?
Well, they are, but I say...
What would it all mean if Corby and Sutton Coldfield won on Saturday? What would it mean?
It'd
definitely be ding-dong for
six, technically.
The likes of Hales Owen and Marine being dragged into it.
Yes.
Mm. I think you're right, though, in the respect, though, James, that it's Frickley's biggest game of the season. If Frickley get the 3 points, they possibly could be safe. And
they're not going to be safe.
Possibly, I said. I didn't say they would
be. It's a long way to go, yeah.
But they will feel that is a big performance for them. Because we know Corby are on the up. Corby have to win this game to have any realistic idea of staying up. Frickley themselves, if they get the 3 points, it's going to be a terrific game of football. I thought, if you can get to that game, as a neutral of any game, that's a game to watch. You'll be really excited.
You can't say realistic chance. This time last year, Whitby were relegated. They were second bottom. They were miles away from everybody else. There was them. In fact, there was them and Stamford, who were right down the bottom, nowhere near anything. And they both nearly got out of it. So, no, we can't take anything for granted at this stage. We really can't. And I think they've both got an half decent chance. Sutton Coldfield, because they can put runs together too, of just climbing the ladder, squeaking away out of it.
But you look at the two teams as well that I've mentioned as regards Marine and Hales Owen. Marine have Nantwich, who are going for the playoffs.
Yep.
And you look at Hales Owen, who
they've got Matlock, who also going for the playoffs.
They're in the groove at this moment in time.
And
so,
who've they got?
You know,
they've
at
got
the end
Marcus
of the day,
Dinanga.
Just staying Dinanga. Down the bottom and bringing in the top as well. Is there a chance Ilkeston could beat Blyth?
No. Need a bit of luck. I probably get four numbers on the lottery, in fairness, and I don't do the lottery.
There is absolutely no chance whatsoever of Ilson beating Blyth Spartans.
Right.
None.
Right. You've managed a young team. Yeah?
Yeah.
How would you go about the league leaders, the runaway league leaders, who everyone fancies, who've got a pedigree like no other, coming to your gaff on a Saturday? How would you approach that game?
I certainly wouldn't look at my opponent. I'd look at myself and see what we've got to actually go and beat them. Because if you try and get something out of the game, you'll end up getting nothing out of the game. You've got to work out some sort of formula where you're basically taking them on man against man and make sure you win those individual battles.
It's man against Boyle.
Yeah. Well, you know what? It's still over 90 minutes and it's still...
And it's a shop window, isn't it?
It's still enthusiasm maybe against experience. And enthusiasm sometimes, as the FA Cup clocks up year in and year out, sometimes enthusiasm overrides experience. And my line would be, right, we're playing the top of the league, all I'm going to ask you is, for 90 minutes, give the wholesale efforts that you've got and don't embarrass yourselves.
I've just looked at the time. I need to rush. Sorry. Is there a chance, though, of an upset? Is there a chance as well as an upset?
You've seen the time of your upset.
Well, my bus is at 25 to.
25 to what?
10. Whitby Town.
Should I give you a lift home? You're
all right. Well, tell you what. Whitby Town. Whitby
oh, well.
No. Before you
he needs
go
a
there, there's no chance. Don't go there, Ben.
Is there a chance as well of an upset at the Turnbull Ground? Whitby Town against Skem. Skem with a new manager.
Not a chance.
The players have given up the goal.
Of course there's a chance. Ben, there's always a chance, isn't there? But let's be honest. Whitby... I've been tremendous all season. It's a long journey for Skem. And Whitby need to win that game. We've already suggested, all of us, that Skem are going to be relegated this season because of where they are in the division. So in that respect, you'd expect Whitby to win it. No question about it.
Whitby have got a chance of a free hit, if that makes sense. They could get away with a draw because of the other games happening.
But at the same time, there are so many teams who... when they change the manager, doesn't matter who, what team you are, they do lift it, because you know the players don't know the manager. I'm assuming that these guys don't know this Alan Rogers, and you know, but I don't see it as completely
they could
impossible.
Get beaten by four or five in this game here.
Yeah, I agree.
A couple of other fixtures just to mention: Micklover Sports against Workington.
Micklover, bottom of the table at the moment.
In fact, yeah, Micklover been spanked a few times recently.
Hensford Town against Barnwell. This is basically winner goes up essentially, and the loser goes back to
one goal in it. I don't know which.
Barnwell again. They've just been they're part of that mid-table four that can cause a lot of trouble this year.
Get your own catchphrases.
The win is the team that next month we're going to be saying, oh, they could get in there.
Good.
Saying that about Barnwell.
Whoever wins, I can't use that. He's not right. He's talking nonsense. That's why he writes in the Mirror and not the Guardian.
And lastly,
load of rubbish.
And lastly, the most intriguing fixture of the weekend, I feel, Stourbridge against Colville Town.
What?
Stourbridge.
The reason why I say it's the most intriguing is because
Colville.
Colville have beaten a lot of teams this season. Stourbridge getting beat by something. And it's an interesting one for Stourbridge as well, because they've got Ashton on Monday.
Ooh.
It's a difficult couple of games there. It's going to be quite testing.
Again, just that mid-table four. I said it a couple of weeks ago on Extra, and I said it on the last show. That Barwell, Colville, Micklover.
I said it.
It's a...
Them four teams all together will prove
what they're called. The Gang of Four. That's right, that's what I called them. Yeah, the Gang of Four.
The mid-table four.
Ben, the Gang of Four were a great left-wing band from Leeds.
Yes.
Still are.
And all that.
But Ben, seriously, going very quickly back to Stourbridge against Colville, Stourbridge have to win that game. Stourbridge, this season, have to be promoted. in whatever way they can do so.
No, they don't.
No, they do.
They don't because...
No, they do.
Say, right, Blythe are going on this season.
No, no, it's a fair enough thing. Don't, no.
They do.
Oh.
The 42 waits for no man,
for the benefit of football. Berkey, for the benefit of football, Starbridge have to go up. For the benefit of football, they have to go up.
No, Starbridge will win it because they're the home team. And to be honest, they've shown more consistency over the season.
And that is the end of the EvoStick NPL show for January. A big thank you to Mr. Ian Burke from Radio Manchester.
Cheers, Ben. Thank you.
A big thank you to Mr. Non-League Roy Sewell.
Thank you.
James Hayes, thank you very much.
No worries, and don't forget, people who are listening at the moment, the NPL show is now doing the Supporters Award this year.
Yes.
Facebook.com/EvoStickLeague, Twitter. Well, we're sponsoring it, but we're running it as well, technically.
You're just doing it. We're sponsoring.
Sully wins it because he's seen more non-league games than all of you.
You're a scout, it's your job.
don't forget to start nominating. It's on the league website and on the league Twitter. All the rules are there for you.
By the way,
Aaron Flanagan from the Mirror, thank you very much.
Yeah, cheers, thank you.
And Swamper, thank you.
Where's he from?
The non-league show on Audio Boom. Live.
And also, there's only one Carl Carrera. Come on.
From everyone here at the Magnet in Stockport.
Can we just say a very, very, very big well done to Scotty Hogan, by the way.
What?
The most prolific price tag on anybody else in non-league football. £15 million today. Gone to where?
I don't know.
He went to Aston Villa.
Aston Villa for £15 million.
Are you kidding me?
The second most expensive non-league export of all time.
Behind
Yannick Bolasie, who went for £25 million this summer.
Well, who did he play for?
Hillingdon Borough.
Did he really?
Wow.
What a player. One of the nicest people I've ever walked across a supermarket car park with.
With? And who was he with?
Robbie Williams.
Yeah, Robbie Williams.
And from everyone here at the Magnet in Stockport, wherever you're going this weekend, have fun, take care.
The EvoStick NPL show was brought to you in association with EvoStick, proud official sponsors of the Northern Premier League.